it's normal for people to be concerned about the health and safety of themselves and their family members.
Comes first a pandemic.
Continues to spread around the
country. And then this murder.
The killing of George Floyd while in police custody.
In New York City.
Demands for justice.
In Washington, D.C.
And change.
Chicago.
Police brutality.
In Minneapolis.
Systemic racism.
Worried about a second wave of new coronavirus infections.
Thousands of protesters.
Stop going out.
More than 700
in public places.
American cities and towns.
Will the pandemic end?
Will it lead to
climatic shift?
Real change?
Coronavirus,
racism,
public health emergency.
We're all in this together.
This affects everybody.
Again, it's normal for people to be concerned for their safety in any situation.
America is on a journey. The route takes sharp turns into our past and cuts across uncertain terrain. And it feels like we're headed toward a horizon we've never seen before. We're living through a global pandemic. We're seeing civil unrest roiling against systemic racism. It feels like the nation's resilience and unity are being stress-tested to the limit. Hoping to return to a new normal for now, most of us remain in the confines of our homes, following reports of a second wave of COVID cases. And we watch city to city erupt in protests that demand police reform. It's difficult to understand what we've been through, and hard to imagine what's yet to come. The Ground Truth Project is covering these crises by deploying reporters who are there, on the ground.
I'm Michelle Liu.
I'm Eric Shelton.
Alexandra Watts.
I'm Manny Ramos.
Julia Fair.
Lisa Johnson.
Our Report for America program is a nationwide service project that places reporters in local newsrooms. There are 225 core members across 46 states who will be sharing stories that too often go unheard from communities that are too often overlooked. The Ground Truth Podcast new season, On the Ground with Report for America, takes listeners on a voyage into the heart of America. This audio journey kicks off with a cross-country road trip. Until May of this year, Chris Ehrman was a reporter for the Associated Press in Hartford, Connecticut. He's now headed for a new Report for America posting in Los Angeles, and he brought us along for the ride. When he set out in late May, the country was struggling with just one outbreak, COVID-19. This is the first half of his trip, Pandemic and Protest, Coast to Coast, Part 1.
I packed up my car with all my belongings and my dog. She's a 3-year-old husky named Tundra. I set out from Hartford to kick off my road trip through the epicenter of the pandemic.
All right, this is Chris Ehrman. I'm literally going from coast to coast to California.
I'll be driving almost 3,500 miles across 16 states over 6 days. I was really curious to see how New York City had adjusted to quarantine. Just 2 months prior, I was there with a friend rubbing shoulders with thousands of other people in Times Square before the seriousness of the pandemic hit everybody. My first stop was actually to visit an old friend in Brooklyn who now lives in Crown Heights.
Okay, so I am very fortunate in that I have a walk-in apartment right from the alley where I don't have to deal with the door of my apartment building. Less interaction with people, the better.
Wearing blue latex gloves and a face mask, John walks me through his 500 square foot, one bedroom apartment.
As you've noticed, I have a lot of Detroit decor. I can't forget my roots. I got the Detroit flag, a Detroit painting.
We both went to school at Wayne State University in Detroit. We also worked at the student-run newspaper, The South End.
I live by myself here in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, because this is what I can afford.
We're sitting in his living room, where John recounts the early days of COVID.
It started getting weird here March 12th.
John had just started working from home that day. By week's end, Governor Andrew Cuomo had ordered a statewide lockdown.
That first week of lockdown, nobody on the streets. And some people had 9/11, some people had Hurricane Sandy. This is like my New Yorker status disaster that I'm going through. So it was nerve-wracking in the beginning.
I saw your Insta stories on Times Square just deserted.
Mm-hmm. So every restaurant and every storefront in East Village was just closed, with the metal garage door closed on them. Central Park, there were still people riding around, but what was also spooky about that, and until recently, is if you do the Central Park loop, you ride by that hospital that they built within Central Park. It was just a bunch of white tents, and it was just like seeing it on TV first and then seeing it in real life. I'm like, holy shit, like I'm here, you know what I mean? But like when you rode through Times Square those first few weeks, you could count the people on your hands. And it was interesting just seeing all the lights on and all the advertisements going for nobody at all. You know, nobody was out there at all. The naked cowboys out there again with a mask on. But it really is just like the homeless people you noticed out because they had nowhere to go. But what happened over the next coming months was they started sleeping on the subway.
They closed the subway, didn't they?
Last week.
For how long?
Indefinitely, but it was the first time in history they stopped running 24 hours. So the homeless people can't sleep overnight, you know, because between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. they're cleaning every train every day.
Continue on Manhattan Bridge for 1.5 miles.
I just got done talking with John, and now I'm driving across Manhattan Bridge. Not a lot of people walking around at the corner here at Broadway and Canal Street.
Okay, so I parked here in downtown Times Square. I literally parked in
I'm
front of the
I'm doing an auto documentary about, you know, COVID and all this stuff. Do you mind talking to me for like 5 minutes about what you've seen?
Ah, get out of here. All right, man.
Documentary about everything going on with New York being kind of dead. Nope. All right, thank you.
Almost all the stores downtown here are closed. A bunch of the touristy shops, the I Heart New York stuff. Levi's has its lights on, but now they have a sign. We are currently closed.
I'll just try to stay my distance for you. Can I just have you state your first name?
Jose. I'm a construction worker. Yeah, I'm born in Puerto Rico. I raised in Brooklyn.
Soy Puerto Ricano también.
Yeah. And I live in the Bronx now.
So, is this normal?
What, this here? No, it's not. On a general day like this, you're looking about 300,000-400,000 people here.
Does it worry you about this for New York going forward?
Not going to get any better. That's how I see it. Generally, these businesses, they're constantly having at least several hundred people in and out of those doors in every single department. It's like, it's not the same, man.
Still smells like restaurant food, and it's making me kind of hungry, in all honesty. Feels like a city, but doesn't look like a city.
Go ahead and give me your name.
I'm Macaroni. I have been coming out here for about a little over a week now, pretty much every day. And I mean, this is surreal. That's actually why I'm here in Times Square. You know, normally this place gives me panic attacks. Oh my God, sensory overload. And now you come here during COVID and it's peaceful. You know, I think in the middle of quarantine, this is a great opportunity to find inner peace. A lot of distractions are removed. We have to remember that too. Like, it is a pandemic, it's scary times, but it's also like, yeah, I think a little space can be good. And I've come here to write a book. My first one is going to be released on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at Aroni Mac. Aroni.
I left New York around 5:30 p.m. and eventually got on I-80 in New Jersey. A steady rain came down along the deserted highways which divided the rural forests and farmlands in Pennsylvania. By midnight, I'd reached the Ohio-Michigan border and was close to being back in my home state.
It's crazy to see how cheap gas is right now. I'm going by a Pilot Travel Center. The gas is $1.92.
I-80 is one of two transcontinental interstate highways that spans the entire country. Over the rest of my journey, I-80, I-75, and I-70 will take me all the way to California. But I'll be visiting my parents just outside of Detroit for a few days to prepare for the rest of my journey. Tomorrow, I'll travel up to Lansing, the state capital, for a protest against the stay-at-home order. I'm standing outside the capitol here, and quite a few number of people here. They're giving haircuts in front of the capitol building here. People just wearing MAGA, Donald Trump gear and waving American flags, the Don't Tread On Me flag.
God bless Trump! That's why he's in office!
Fair number of people not wearing masks, some people wearing masks.
I believe that Mr. COVID-19 is jumping off the hook here. The hundreds of people here who have no mask and are not social distancing.
There was an argument with a man from Detroit and a woman about opening up the economy.
We want the economy open. Everybody needs to make a living.
Okay.
But let's do it wise. Let's not rush into it. We don't want this thing to kick back up.
Okay, so do you know how many people are really dying in Michigan?
I know this. 40% of the deaths in this country have been black. and I'm scared to death. Okay. I'm scared for all people, and forgive me, but being black, naturally, I'm concerned.
It's very difficult. So yes. Here's the question. And what many do we do about getting black
hundreds
better
of my friends. Well, let me tell you something.
Sure.
See, what COVID is doing, it is highlighting the inequities in this system.
I would agree with
See,
that.
We got equality by law, but we do not have equity.
So are there more compromised people because more blacks don't have health care coverage, so therefore people are ill?
We don't have the health care.
Right.
We don't have, I'm generalizing.
Yep, me too.
There's
me too.
Black folks doing well, but we don't have the money. We don't have the resources.
Okay.
We don't have the access to medical care.
Okay.
We want the economy opened up. All of us have been hit economically. And we all need to go to work. And we all need a check. And the stimulus still ain't came for too many. Unemployment still ain't came for too many. But people must be placed over profit.
I've actually covered protests here since I was a student at Michigan State University. I just graduated the day after the protest on April 30th.
Anna Nichols is also a Report for America Corps member. She now covers the Michigan State House for the Associated Press.
I've not seen protests like this, yelling obscenities at police officers, protesters fighting each other. There's been arrests at virtually every protest, usually for assault. This protest today hasn't had one. I actually was very glad that today was a calm day because I'm looking forward to things getting more normal in Michigan as a state. I think we're all suffering. I think people are frustrated. I think a lot of people have said that the aggressive, some would say violent protesters do not represent the whole of Michigan.
And the government of which he stands is...
Even though I'd reported on it before, the fear, anger, and disregard for safety definitely made me feel uneasy. I hoped things would get back to normal for Anna, but I had my doubts. And events over the coming days would bring thousands more to the streets, but this wouldn't be about COVID. The first state I'm going to be going into after leaving Michigan is Ohio, where I'm going to see if I can find anybody to talk to as I go down South 75. I just crossed over into Flag City, USA, Ohio. I'm trying to see what the sign says. Welcome to Findlay.
Oh, thank you. We'll get it. We'll get it from there. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Greg Greer, General Manager of Springfield Fireworks here in Bluffton, Ohio. Right off I-75, just about an hour south Toledo, northwest side of Ohio.
What do you have in the store here? I see, obviously. Like...
Oh, we've got any kind of consumer fireworks. So, nothing big, none of the professional stuff, just consumer fireworks.
So, with COVID and everything that's happened,
right.
When did you guys shut down?
The 23rd, I believe it was, is when the governor shut down the state, pretty much. So, we were closed the last week of March, all of April. First 11 days of May. So we just opened, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so how much business have you done since you've opened it back up?
It's been decent. Memorial Day weekend's always a good weekend for us, but what they're starting to do is cancel a lot of fireworks shows in the area. So a lot of people want their own fireworks. So like I said, Memorial Day weekend was fairly decent for us. We missed the whole month of April, but April's not a big fireworks month anyway. Yeah, we're just trying to get caught up now.
I'm in a rural part of highway here, and I'm looking off to my left here, and I see like a huge rainstorm covering the majority of the sky. So I'm hoping maybe the rain will cool me off a little bit or cool the car off.
Welcome to Starbucks. How can I get started for you?
I'm going to be talking with Julia Fair. She lives in Northern Kentucky and works in that area for Report for America.
Last week was a big week for Kentucky. Retail opened and sit-in dining with restrictions. My name is Julia Fair. I cover Northern Kentucky government for the Cincinnati Inquirer. If you're not familiar with like the geography over here, I'm sitting on my patio right now in Northern Kentucky and I can see Cincinnati. So it's right across the Ohio River.
So how has COVID affected what you've covered?
I mean, it has completely upended everything. On the local government side, you know, they still had to keep having meetings, and so everyone adapted to Zoom, just like everybody else, for work. So I've attended a lot of Zoom council meetings. When they go into executive session, the Zoom call just ends. But then they do come back, the Zoom call does resume, but it's just different. There are 37 local governments here in this region of three counties, so it's a lot of things to keep tabs on. Some people like that the meetings have been broadcasted, because they weren't, all of them weren't before. So if anything, that one thing has made local government access more available to people to tune in on Facebook Live to see what their council people are up to.
Have you seen any protests?
I first realized that there are a lot of protests going on. I was sitting in my home office. You know, Governor Andy Beshear has daily press conferences. And I was watching the video stream, and I could hear, I heard like a muffle in the background, and it was protesters, you know, all the chants saying to reopen the economy. There was actually another protest last weekend where it got so heated that a group of Kentuckians took a doll of the governor and they hung him in a tree in front of his house.
So I just got done speaking with Julia Fair. She basically is right on the border of Ohio and Kentucky. You know, one state has a Republican governor and the other has a Democratic governor. But one thing I found interesting, she told me, was that the states have been working kind of in tandem as they go forward in COVID, because in Michigan, I noticed, I saw a local news story that showed some restaurants defying the executive orders that Governor Gretchen Whitmer had installed. Their argument was, across the state line, in Ohio, people could go get food, they could go get, you know, whatever they needed. And so they were kind of losing money in business. And so I just thought it was interesting that Ohio and Kentucky were more in tandem with COVID operations as opposed to Michigan and Ohio. After crossing back into Ohio, I headed up I-74 toward Indiana. I was hoping to make it to Indianapolis for the night. Oh, I'm actually staying like almost kitty corner to the Indy Star. The Indianapolis Star is a daily newspaper. It's been around since 1903 and it's currently owned by Gannett. No matter where I go, I try to keep an eye out for news organizations because I'm a journalist and I just like that stuff.
District Cap bar and restaurant here, it looks like. Nobody's inside, but there's a couple people socially distanced sitting at tables outside.
Like, you don't know how much you really love and enjoy being outside the four walls of your home until they take it away from you. Yes, I put on some nice clothes. We got outside eating. Let's get a drink. I said, hell yeah, yeah. I washed today.
Lathan Harney owns a lawn care business. I notice he's not wearing a mask.
I'm not worried about the whole mask thing. I keep my hands washed. I've always been strong with my immune system, just eating right, exercising. So I can only think that whatever I'm doing is right.
Do you know anybody who's been affected by COVID?
I do know some people. And that's the problem. It's like, although I'm sitting here saying that I think I can fight it off, I can still carry it and give it to somebody else. That's unfortunate. But after so long of just being at home, man, you just got to get out sometimes. It's unfortunate, man.
I speak on it, man. So my dad almost died from it.
Abe Garcia is a woodworker.
I do feel like it affects everybody differently. So my mom had it. Her symptoms were more flu-like. His symptoms were, he got it and he was in bed for 3 days. My brother's a doctor and I have a sister that's an RN at the COVID hospital. And from what I understand was his immune system was basically attacking itself, and they gave him basically a 10% chance of living once he went to the hospital. And I said if he would have showed up a day later, he wouldn't have made it.
What's been the hardest part for you, and what you look forward?
The hardest part for me is, you see on social media like Facebook and all those things, it's very hard to watch people like not take it seriously. It may not kill you, but it could kill your father, your child, or like it could be something crazy serious that you wouldn't think happened to your family, because that's how I was, honestly. I was one of those people that kind of just talk carelessly about the situation and thought like I'll be okay and I'll be fine, and honestly I was, but my dad wasn't. Yeah, man, I would love to get back to normal life. I don't think it'll ever be normal again.
I walk into my room now. I'm staying at a Hampton Inn in downtown Indianapolis.
It's about 1 a.m. My dog Tundra and I are turning in for the night. It was a long, hot drive, and my car doesn't have AC. We needed to get a good night's sleep. But 24 hours ago, Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. He held his knee on Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Today, Minneapolis police dispersed protesters with tear gas. But over the next several days, massive demonstrations would take place in all 50 states and around the world to show solidarity for George Floyd. A nation already crippled by a deadly virus would now have to face something just as devastating. It's quite a time to be driving across America.
On the next Ground Truth podcast, we continue on the road with Chris's journey, which takes him across the Rocky Mountains and winds up in California.
I can't breathe!
Here in Denver, protesting the death of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery,
all right.
And many black lives.
All right.
No, we're doing it.
Chris Ehrman is a second-year Report for America Corps member. He's just started a new position with Spectrum News in Los Angeles. There are two important features of his reporting that you'll want to check out on our website, thegroundtruthproject.org. The first is an interactive map that traces Chris's path through the pictures he took along the way. You'll also find a soundtrack of the music that carried Chris along interstates and county roads. We've compiled them all into a Spotify playlist at thegroundtruthproject.org. Tell us what you think of this episode and give us a rating. Tell your friends they can subscribe on NPR One, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever they listen. This episode was reported by Chris Ehrman. Our senior producer is Mitch Hanley. Major funding for this season of the podcast comes from the MacArthur Foundation and other supporters. I'm Charlie Sennett, founder of the Ground Truth Project, which supports emerging journalists to do on-the-ground reporting in undercovered corners of the world.